The Ira Kaufman Podcast is presented by Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, longtime supporters of all of Ira's work at joebucksfan.com. It's the Made to Move sales event going on right now at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon, right there at Causeway Boulevard. So easy to get to. The 2019 Cadillac CTS, $343 lease per month. New 2019 Cadillac Escalade, $749 lease per month. All the details are at Ed Morse CadillacBrandon.com, EdMorseCadillacBrandon.com, and as all Ed Morse customers know, their quality runs across the state of Florida for 73-plus years, more than 1.2 million satisfied customers, and at Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, the signature showroom just west of 275 on Fletcher.
Hold on. I want to stop you right here, and I think it's worth noting. The Tampa dealership, this is worth mentioning. Brian is the general manager. He's been there 8 years. Each of the last 2 years, that dealership has been honored by the Cadillac company in general, the overseer, as one of the top 20 dealerships in the world. And I didn't say United States. I said the world. 920 dealerships, that's about 2%. That is very impressive. 2% among all dealerships get that designation. That guy got it 2 years in a row. Brian, you're doing something right over there. Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, Fletcher Avenue, a little west of 275.
All right, the Ira Kaufman Podcast is back. Training camp style, we are all together here at One Buck Palace in the Secret Bugged Room. I'm Steve Isbitz, a Joe Bucks fan, the sage of Tampa Bay sports. Mr. Ira Kaufman is here, along with Lee DeCamper of Joe Bucks fan and the man beast himself, intern Zach Seifter. Ira, this is your 43rd training camp covering the Buccaneers after your 10 years on the Giants beat. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well. I'm waiting for my San Francisco Giants to unload a couple of guys for prospects. My luck, they got hot right before the trade deadline, and now they're thinking about staying pat or maybe adding a few guys. Are you crazy? All this about a wild card spot? Anyway, forget about that. Steve, we haven't talked since Ronald Jones was ripping off 60-yard runs. Jameis Winston was throwing interceptions. Devin White was everywhere, and Mike Evans was making catches against everybody. It has been one rollicking Bucs camp, and as Bruce Arians said on Tuesday, Steve, I got to give these guys credit. 5 days in a row, 5 days in a row in this heat. He said that's the only time they're going to go 5 days in a row till next year. That means Arians thinks he's going to be here next year. That's a good sign right there, Lee. But they haven't gotten too many breaks with the weather. Today was awfully toasty. And they've had their share of rain here. But all in all, Lee, and I wouldn't expect Arians to say anything else, he seems pretty satisfied with the first 5 days.
Well, for the first time, the offense showed up today. Now, you know, they've been okay passing the ball, okay. The offensive line, up until today, and still today, they were not dominant.
Some of the video you showed me this morning, Lee, it was pretty hard.
Tuesday timeline in media, you'll see Noah Spence coming off the edge. And he didn't have to put a move on anybody. It was a straight sprint to Jameis. I mean, better not. I'm going to term a verb here. You've heard this word as a noun. I will use it as a verb. And this video that is on Twitter, Joe Bucks fan Twitter account, is the personification of this verb, turnstiled. He was turnstiled by Noah Spence.
And that better not happen when D. Ford, your guy, Lee, lines up in week one on the right outside spot for the 49ers. And he better not have a free ride to Jameis Winston, or the Bucs season could be over before it starts.
Yeah, but let's hope Benenuk not out there. That means something happened to Donovan Smith. And the Bucs are kind of taking it easy on him right now. He's got a little bit of nicked Achilles, is what Arians said.
So far, so good on the injury front. Lee.
Yeah, they had a scare today with Mike Evans. And supposedly, what Arians said was Mike Evans has cramps. Now, we have no idea.
And if he does, it's understandable that he indexed Zach about 100 today.
He wasn't even on the field when it happened. He was standing back there, and all of a sudden, he's just on the ground. Yeah. And he stands up. They help him up, and he screams as they're helping him onto the cart.
The offensive line finally showed up, Steve, and not a minute too soon.
Well, the other day, Arians mentioned that Mike Evans got sick, a.k.a. threw up, and that was before he had a cramp. And this was he just explained this in the scope of talking about a big pass late in practice the
maybe
other
he was
day.
Watching Benenuk.
So maybe he threw up again.
I almost got that one right past you, but
it's possible. Right past it's possible. Now, Ira, We'll find out. But you know what? You mentioned the term free ride, and I have to mention a few free rides that we have going here.
Bobby
First,
Thun.
That's the free stretch.
Okay.
First, we've got Saturday, the good folks, the Loose Cannons, led by Sammer, Twitter account, Sammer, S-A-M-E-R underscore A-L-I, and the Loose Cannons Twitter account. They're reviving fully. The training camp takeover is Saturday. It's inside the Glazer Shed. It's an evening practice at 6:30. Sammer's got all kinds of T-shirts he's given away, and we have information on the website, and you can find it on Twitter as well. We helped provide the T-shirts to Joe Bucks fans, so we love the fans.
I'm seeing a lot of activity on Twitter about it, Steve. A lot of fans weighing in.
And that's going to heat up in the next couple of days, but it's always a fun time. If you don't have your tickets for training camp that day, because the allocation is gone, from what I understand, you can still show up. They're going to let you in, and if the Glazer Shed is completely full, you won't get in, but you know what? They always allow for some wiggle room for fans who just show up, and of course, there are always fans who get the free tickets and don't make it. So it's going to be a great time to come out and scream, and plenty of free T-shirts, but you want to get there definitely early, before 6 o'clock, for those to make sure you get one, and before the fans want to get in there screaming and cheering. So
is the main reason they have tickets for training camp not so much for crowd control, but as a way to gauge how many extra security, how many workers, how much concessions, that type of thing?
Number one reason I would bet any amount of money is to get leads, email addresses to sell tickets to people.
Ah.
So that would be number one. Number two is they don't want to go overboard on just what you're talking about, Lee. So in the, you know, in the game of odds, if they somehow have a day where they're going to have 5,000 when they can only handle three, they just don't want that to happen. But most of that stuff is about, it's always about money. Now, Sage, you, Friday night, opening of the preseason against Pittsburgh, you will be at Buffalo Wild Wings in Wesley Chapel.
August 9th, right? Friday, August 9th.
Kickoff is at 7:30. You'll be out there about 45 minutes early, glad-handing, eating, doing your thing. It's just east of 75, and all season long you will be around town for fans to love you and hold you.
I thought you were going to have me into Trinity Wild Wings the whole time, but no, you got me going to Riverview, you got me going to Bradenton. I'm going to put some miles on this vehicle over there, Stephen.
Well, the good folks at Buffalo Wild Wings made your schedule, Ira, and just be happy you're not going down to Fort Myers too often. So.
And, Lee, of course, you'll be paying for my mileage, Mr. DeKemper. That goes without saying. So there you go.
And Uncle Sam gets tired.
I'm looking forward to it. Preseason games, you know, Lee, I think you remember this. I would say it's 3 or 4 years ago, but they went to Minnesota for the first preseason game, and I believe DeMar Dotson got seriously hurt in that game. It was a major blow.
Steve, was that that game, and it was at University of Minnesota Stadium?
Yeah.
The Bucks played poorly in that game.
Yeah, a great little anecdote for the fans who, yeah, this is just, it's kind of funny, you know. So, Ira, just real quick, at that game, University of Minnesota Stadium,
Mankato? Where was that?
I don't remember. Somewhere up in Minneapolis. Right. And no air conditioning in the stadium. Okay, in the suites, no air conditioning. Because it's Minnesota, they don't really need it. And they're not playing there in the dead of summer most of the time. Well, it happened to be record high, 91, 92 degrees that day. It was just scorching. And the Glazers, who always go to all the games and sit in a luxury box, it smoked them out. The heat smoked them out. They were hanging out with the media.
Don't tell me they went into the press box.
They were in the press box. I talked to Ed Glazer in the press box for longer than anybody's ever talked to Ed Glazer because it was too hot. He couldn't get rid of me.
So it's like, 45 seconds is what you're saying?
No, it was many, many minutes. And
then DeMar Dotson goes down right in front of your
eyes.
And
DeMar Dotson went down, and Gosder Chehrilis was signed, and the rest is history.
And you ate, what, muskie or something for the first time in your life?
Yeah, walleye. I think it was walleye.
Walleye.
I had walleye at a bar. That's a long story. All right, Sage. Now, the headline of this podcast lets everybody know that we've got a special guest, and his name is Peter King. And, of course, you talked to King for at least an hour, drilling him and grilling him on the Hall of Fame.
I did.
But we've got him on the podcast. So before we get to King, I just want to remind everybody the podcast is available. Apple Podcasts, iTunes, whatever you want to call it, Podbean, Stitcher, Google Play. Sage loves your reactions and your subscriptions, which, of course, are free.
Steve, I want to say up front, props to Lee DeKemper. Props. He's a bulldog, Steve. And he spotted Peter King at 3 o'clock this afternoon. And the only thing on DeKemper's mind, besides eating the Bucks lunch and trying to figure out what was served today. And by the way, he says the food's getting better and better all the time. He's very impressed right now. Steve, you've seen Lee when he's a Bulldog. And, you know, he targeted Peter King. He shadowed Peter King. He looked like Donald Rumsfeld on a reporter from the Washington Post. And he finally nailed him down. I'm over there talking to the PR staff, and the Kemper grabs me by the collar. King's ready. King's ready. Are you ready? We had quite a sit-down. I hope the listeners enjoy it.
I'm sure they will. And here's Pete, as you call him a few times, like only you can get away with. And we'll talk about it afterwards. A lot of good nuggets in here, folks.
Word on the street says that you feel that this little football team here in this backwater.
in this backwater? It's Tampa, Florida. It's not a backwater.
just could be one of the most intriguing of the 32 NFL franchises. Why, Pete? Why are they intriguing?
The reason it's an intriguing team is because the new coach is so interesting. We all left him for dead, you know, 18 months ago. He was finished. Finito. Then, you know, so he resuscitates himself. He comes back here. And you know how certain things happen and you just say, now that is a perfect coach for the quarterback. And that's exactly what I said. Now, you know, we don't really know yet about Byron Leftwich. You know, Clyde Christensen, obviously, I think he is a superior position coach. Peyton Manning loves Clyde, swears by him. But there's all this mystery. You know, that's part one. Part two is, this is in many ways the biggest year of Jameis Winston's career. Okay? This team has to make a decision at the end of the year whether he's going to be a savior or whether he's going to be the number two quarterback for the Jets next year. I mean, you know, so...
Don't get any more dramatic than
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, now look, who knows? I'm exaggerating a little bit because maybe somebody looks at him in this offseason if the Bucks choose to let him go and look in another direction. Somebody could say, I want him to be my starter. I don't know. But I think it's big for both him and Mariota, by the way. Mariota.
Yes.
But anyway, and if it just stopped there, that would be one thing. But how about this? You know, this defense, since the Mastodon roamed the earth, has been a typical Tampa 2, you know, kind of very predictable defense.
We now, do what we do, right, Pete?
There's been wrinkles and there's been differences, but now Todd Bowles comes in, and as Bruce Arians told me today, so there was a practice in the last week where Jameis Winston saw 15 different blitzes. And Arians had to go to this poor, frustrated, perplexed Jameis Winston and say, don't worry about that. You'll never play a game where you'll see more than five.
That's outstanding.
So, you know, I mean, if I'm Jameis Winston, I'm happy that I'm seeing that because it's like, you know, if you are getting ready to play a baseball season, you know, you want to be able to, in the preseason, in the exhibition season, there's nothing wrong with facing Max Scherzer
and Kurt
once
Sharp.
Or twice.
Yeah.
And so I think in a lot of ways this team, all those reasons are why I think it's one of the most interesting teams to watch in the NFL this year.
Pete, can you scheme your way to 10 wins in this league if you don't have enough personnel? Can you outsmart people? Can you...
But Ira, to answer that question, the first thing you have to say is you've got six division games. Even playing in the big ball yard over here, is there one game that you feel confident that you're going to win? I think they might win one or two in the division, but if they go 2-4 in the division, in my opinion, that's about as good as they can hope for. So what does that mean? What that means is that essentially you've got to go, you know, 8-2 in the rest of your games to have a good shot to be a playoff team. So again, I don't see them being a playoff team. I see them being the fourth team in the division. But Bruce Arians, in many times in his life, if you look at him, including his first year in Arizona, he comes in and he provides a jolt. And all of a sudden, everything you thought on July 30th or whatever it is goes flying out the window.
And they win the close games, Pete, and that changes.
Yeah.
Pete, last thing. What's the national perception of this franchise? It's 11 years without a postseason, second in the league to Cleveland, and Cleveland seems to be a team on the rise. What's happened here in Tampa since they dumped John Gruden?
Well, you know, that's a very involved question. I guess the biggest thing I would say about what has happened is that over a long period of time, they haven't got the quarterback right. And when I was at the Jets camp the other day and talked to Adam Gase, I mean, I've known Gase. I'm not close to him, but I know him pretty well. And Adam Gase is so happy right now. And he's happy for one reason, because he believes that he has a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. Maybe not opening day 2019, but he thinks Sam Darnold is really, really good. Now,
and that's where it starts, right, Pete?
Of course. And you know, if you don't have your quarterback, and right now, I think Jason Light and Bruce Arians believe that Jameis Winston is probably the guy. And they probably, after this year, are going to sign him, you know, long term and all that stuff. But they don't know it.
They don't know it.
And that's the problem with being in year five with a quarterback. If you don't know it and you have to go back into that thing, well, and again, I'm not saying that next year if they draft Justin Herbert and they start over that Bruce Arians would be a bad guy, but look, Bruce Arians is coaching 2 or 3 years, let's be honest. You know, and
he's here to raise Winston's game, right, Pete?
Yes, yes. He's here to save this quarterback and to make this team competitive. If Jameis Winston is saved, then he will accomplish his task. I think there's one other thing that's important to realize here. This defense might be pretty good. And there is, I think this is on speed alone, this is a top five NFL defense in terms of team speed. And, you know, so that could keep them in games. And I think Arians, I talked to Arians, and one of the things that he has stressed, you know, multiple times with Winston is very simply that, you know, you don't have to, you know, throw it into, you know, a bird's nest 35 yards down the field. You know, dump it off. Let's just get 10 yards. He said to him one day, he said, so if you throw 30 checkdowns this year and you gain 300 yards on those 30 checkdowns, as opposed to whatever happened would have happened on those 30 plays, so those are 30 positive plays for us. And some of the other plays would have been positive, okay, but some of them also might have been picked because Jameis Winston's trying to do too much. So, you know, but yeah, obviously Jameis is the story, and you don't know what's going to happen, and I can't tell you what's going to happen, but I will say this, when I saw that Bruce Arians got this job, I said, that is the right hire for this team at this time.
Is he all in your opinion, Pete, and talking to him?
Who's that, Arians?
Arians.
Yeah. I think he expected to like the life of living on a lake in Georgia and getting up every morning and having his coffee and going to play 18 holes. And I think he realized what many people in their late 60s realize, is that all there is.
You and I might go through that in a few years.
I might go through it in a couple of years, who knows. But, you know, he said, I think he just felt like, is that all there is? And
the juices, right, Pete? The
yeah,
juices.
He, yeah, well, and I think the other thing that really convinced him, one of the things he said to me, I hadn't heard this before, when he was with CBS, and they would go in and watch somebody's practice on Friday, and he'd sit down and talk with coaches, I think mentally he's thinking, not necessarily I'm better than this guy, but he's thinking, I do it this way, and I think it'd be better, you know? But it was interesting, you know, it was interesting talking to him. Like, he really likes Cutter. Bruce does. And he said some really, really nice things about him.
And Cutter will do well in Atlanta.
I think he'll do well because he's got that history with Matt Ryan. And Matt Ryan really likes him, knows him. The good thing for Matt Ryan is even though he's got a new guy, he's not really a new guy. So,
and if Ryan didn't want him, Pete, he wouldn't be there.
Right.
He wouldn't be there if Ryan didn't check off.
And look, there are some people, and there are some people who probably are better coordinators than being head coaches. I think Todd Bowles is a better coordinator than a head coach. At least that's the impression I got watching the Jets.
Now, Pete, you were close watching the Jets. I got this question for you.
Yeah.
Do you agree with me that when you become a head coach, with rare exception, maybe a Belichick, Pete, but you're not as hands-on with you know, Bowles with the defense, Cutter with the offense? It changes, doesn't it, Pete?
It changes, but, you know, like Dan Quinn in Atlanta this year is going to be a totally different animal, and he's going to do it altogether differently, because what he's going to do is he's basically handing the offense to Cutter, Malarkey, and Raheem Morris. He's telling you, you guys are coaching that team. It's not like he's going to ignore them, but he's not doing a lot with them.
Thank you.
So I think the one thing that you're going to see, like in Atlanta, is a head coach who basically now is going to coach half the team. I never like that very much, but in Atlanta, I understand why he's doing it, because I think they feel like desperate times require desperate measures, or whatever that cliche is.
And maybe Sean Payton does the Saints offense for the most part.
Yeah,
for the most part.
Yeah.
So you think Bowles will be more effective from a defensive standpoint?
Very much, because he can devote his whole life to figuring out what blitz is going to work this week against this offensive line and this quarterback. So I think I love Todd Bowles as a coach. I think, you know, when you look at Todd Bowles, he is the one who basically invented, you know, bringing Deion Buchanan, Tyrann Mathieu down to be linebackers. And everybody said, oh my God, they'll get steamrolled. It was brilliant.
And now a lot of teams are doing it.
A lot of teams are doing it because everybody wants speed. And the other thing that people are doing, they're drafting smaller linebackers because they want them to be real fast. You look at Deion Jones in Atlanta. He's no Butkus.
I love Deion Jones.
Deion Jones, my God, he runs side to side incredibly well.
And, hey, you know, boy, did they miss him last year, Pete.
Yeah, they missed him terribly,
Thank you, my man.
No problem. It was enjoyable. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, babe.
We are back, and just a quick reminder to everyone, Buffalo Wild Wings, Friday, August 9th. You will be there, 7:30. Zach's going to be there. You're going to have giveaways on top of that. We'll talk about that next podcast.
Bucks will be in Pittsburgh.
Bucks in Pittsburgh, watching the game. Great time to come out and meet Ira. And, all right, Ira, one thing that Peter King, I'll get right to it, that he mentioned in there, and there's so many goodies in there, just a treasure trove. It was funny. I don't know why, Ira, but you told them last question, 5 minutes.
That is a classic Kaufman maneuver. I do it all the time. Last question, DeMar, and then I go on for another 12 minutes.
You tell Peter King last question, you go on for another 8 questions after that.
Don't you know my style by now?
I do. He was in no rush, though. It was kind of comical. All right, Sage, look, Peter King says he's talking to Arians, and Arians tells him that he told Jameis, look, we threw 15 blitzes at you the other day in practice. And in a regular game, you'll get 5 different kinds of blitzes, maybe 6. Don't worry about it, pal. They're throwing the kitchen sink at Jameis. What do you make of Arians telling Peter King that?
Well, I followed up because once King told me that, and then about a half an hour, 45 minutes later, Arians came to the podium. And one of the questions that I asked Arians was, Bruce, with all, and I called them crazy blitzes, crazy alignments by Bowles, you know, and I said, how much is that going to help Jameis Winston and the offensive line in terms of preparing for different things? And I knew what he already told Peter King, so it was just along the same lines. And he goes, it's a tremendous asset. It's a tremendous asset because, you know, it's like seeing, you know, a great pitcher. He didn't say this, but it's akin to seeing, you know, Justin Verlander, you know, March 8th when you know, for 3 innings, you know, and you're bringing rookies up and they're seeing what the real deal is, you know, it's easier to make an adjustment when you're going up against real bullets. Arians thinks it's a big asset, Lee, when Bowles throws all these things at you. And I'm not sure Bowles is throwing everything that's in his bag. I'm sure he's holding back a few things.
You know what I'm coming at you with now. You just know.
I just know.
You know what a better asset is to look at than Justin Verlander? Kate Upton.
I kind of knew that was coming.
You walked right into that, Ira.
I walked right into it. And by the way, on Tuesday night, after we're taping this, Arians is going to be on Real Sports. I hate to give a plug for HBO.
Well, you buy them, don't you?
But they spend a lot of money, and they do it right. I mean, HBO, their sports documentaries are tremendous. Absolutely tremendous. One of the greatest sports documentaries I've ever seen, and I hope the 3 of you have all seen it. It was years ago. It was about Ollie Frazier won the first fight.
Oh, no, I haven't.
It was absolutely fantastic. The whole build-up to it. And they had Brian Gumbel saying, you know, he was just a kid and he cried that night because Ollie lost. And he
really?
Won. Yeah, he wanted Ali to win and just the whole bill. Anyway, they spend money. So they sent Andrea Kramer, you know, and where's Bruce in Tennessee or wherever he's got that place? And they
Georgia, you mean?
Yeah, Georgia. They sent Kramer up. She might have played 18 holes for all we know with Arians. But we can't wait to see it because she also talked to Arians' wife. But Peter King was a treasure trove, Steve. There's no question. I want to apologize because I believe I called our area a NFL backwater, Stephen. I just did that for
and
Peter
was appalled.
King's amusement. And because, you know, he lives in New York. He's going to
Brooklyn.
He's going to Boston all the time, Chicago.
He moved to your hometown.
I think he is in Brooklyn.
Yeah, he moved to Brooklyn.
I believe he is in Brooklyn. He's been everywhere. I think he was living in Boston for a while.
All right. Come on.
That's enough of that.
I'm pulling you back. pulling you back on the train.
All right.
Peter King.
The man's excited. He's living in his hometown.
You notice I asked King if he thought Arians was all in. Yeah, which is a question that I always bring up on
and
this
podcast. He gave the thumbs up. He believes it. King said the Bucs 2-4 is about as good as you can hope for in the division. Do you believe that, Ira?
He did say it. He said it very strongly. I'm thinking in his mind it's more a reflection on the power of the division than the weakness of the Bucs. I don't think he's terribly down on the Bucs. He thinks, Lee, tell me, reading between the lines.
What the hell were you listening to, Ira?
Lee, between the lines. He thinks this coaching staff's going to make a major difference. He loves Bowles, and he's a big Arians fan. Now, the question is, do they have the personnel to pull it off? That's probably why he thinks they're going to go 6-10 or 7-9.
All right, Ira, you need a towel. I'm going to ask Zach a question here.
Never mind. This is my podcast.
Zach.
He said 2-4, and I think he thinks the NFC South. My feeling, that's his way of saying it's the best division.
Zach, Lee.
I agree with what Ira said.
See, I got somebody to agree with.
Zach, Lee, we just listened to Peter King say that the Bucs can do no better than 2-4 in the division, and he picked them for last place in the division.
Yes, he did.
Yet Ira's trying to tell us that he thinks highly of the Bucs.
No, I agree with Ira. He thinks highly of the Bucs, but he thinks that much more of the Saints, that much more of the Falcons.
They've been in
that
the basement.
That much more of the Panthers, which if you think about it.
I think it's 7 of the last 8.
If
you think about it, most of the people that think the Bucs are going to stink isn't so much because the Bucs are going to stink. It's because the other three teams are that good.
You're the guy that said 7-9 is outstanding. And you're not getting away with that, Steve. That's one of the great moments in this podcast.
They've been in the basement for how long now?
7 out of 8.
Buccaneers Cove. Yeah. And it's probably more so the power of the division. I have to take that side because Atlanta was diminished by injuries last year. Carolina.
This ain't the AFC East, Zach.
Exactly.
You took the words out of my mouth.
You're not playing the Jets and the Bills twice a year. You know, it's not like you got three incredible quarterbacks that you play six times a year. It's just, it's hard.
I cannot say with a straight face that Peter King feels good about the Bucs, but he just thinks they're a fourth place team that's going to come in last place and go 6-10, 7-9. He's a national guy. He sees them as a below average, less than 8-8 team. Come on, call it what it is.
Well, according to you, Isbit, 7-9 is a reason to set off the fireworks.
I'm not Peter King. I'm not hiding from that.
It sounds to me like he thinks they're going to go 7-9 and finish in fourth place.
I got I was right there recording it as a backup for you.
Yes.
And I got the same impression you did that, I thought the Bucs were going to improve. If they were in a crap division, they might just go for a wild card, but they've got a landmine to go through.
Well, that's once again a reflection of the division because you look at most divisions, 7-9 typically is not your last place finisher.
Yeah.
That's right. He thinks the defense is going to be quite a bit better, Steve. He does.
But he's a Bowles guy.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I thought it was interesting when he said that B.A. and Jason Light, Peter King with his pontificating tone, B.A. and Jason Light believe Jameis is probably the guy. That was quite a strong statement by Peter King right there.
Yeah.
Probably the guy.
Yeah.
What is that?
Well, but he followed that up quickly by saying, but they don't know for sure. And he says, 5 years in and they don't know for sure. I mean, that's where we are, Zach. That's exactly where we are. Yeah. 5 years in, Lee, and we don't know for sure.
Didn't he say he thought Winston would be back next year?
He did. Yeah. If he had to bet on it, he thinks Winston will be back. I'll tell you what, they go 5-11 or 6-10. I think that's a tough, tough order to bring him back. I'll stick with
especially
that.
In a draft heavy or quarterback heavy draft class next year.
That's just it. I'm being Mr. Objective here. If the Bucs are right around 500, Winston has okay, nothing to jump, nothing to make you want to run out into traffic and try to tackle a semi, and nothing to make you want to shoot off fireworks, just a blah, what do you do?
Steve, I tried to get him to look big picture and say, 11 years without a postseason game. What's been going on here in Tampa since they canned Gruden?
He gave a wonderful answer to that. He's like, all right, that's a complex
question. He did.
Question.
He said it was a I thought I'd get a pithy answer from the man.
Sum up 17 pithy. Years. Sum
yeah,
up
I didn't know if he was going to take a pot shot at the Glazers. I didn't know.
No,
but, you know.
I'm not knocking the pithy. Question. I thought it was a fun answer. But I think it's important for all the listeners to keep in mind, King sat down, if I didn't make that clear. He sat down with Arians before he talked to Ira.
Yes,
and, of course, he's here early. He's, I'd bet any bit of cash, he talked to Jason Light for a little bit.
Yes.
So his impression, he didn't
and
walk
perhaps it. Winston. And perhaps Winston.
Perhaps. Maybe not. I'd bet less on that. Now, here's something, Ira, that Peter King said that's a little bit unique. He said he believes, and this, of all the King, all the stuff King said, this is what I believe is probably the most credible. I hate to use that word, but because he goes around the league and because of how much he watches all the teams, he said he believes the Bucks are top five in defensive speed.
Yeah, he did say that.
And he thinks that that might actually cover up a lot of warts and get the defense really going.
I bet you he got that from somebody.
Probably, because, he's, what, one practice? He's going to come more?
Yeah, he might have got that from Arians. He could have got it from Bowles. I don't think Bowles talks like
that. Could have got it from
like
Sean
that.
McVay.
Could have got it from Light. Could have got it from Light, possibly.
I would think for him to say that.
I think it was Arians.
Well, for him to say that on the record, I'm guessing he didn't get it from here. I'm guessing he got it from somebody
else. Well, I'll say this, Steve, and you know, in the classic words of DeKemper, underwear football, and you don't want to read too much into it. Zach, you've been out here. You watched the Bucks in years past. They do look quicker on defense.
They do.
Some of the new guys in the back end, Devin White, is as quick as can be. They got more speed, and you know what? And he talked about how the trend in the league is to go for lighter linebackers. Remember that, Steve? You know what I felt like saying? The Bucks were doing that in 1997.
Yeah.
I mean, that's old Buck football.
Quarles and Brooks.
Undersized linebackers who swarm to the football. That's what it's all about. Now, they're not going to play the traditional Tampa 2, but...
Now, that was the greatest line of the whole podcast. The Mastodons.
That they've been playing that system?
Yeah. The Mastodons walk the earth.
Yeah. They do look quicker. Steve, you've seen some practices. Steve, what I like is swarming to the ball. That was a big part of Buck's success in the past. If the first guy misses the tackle, the second guy's there. We haven't had that here. To juke the first guy, the next guy's 10 yards away. If you can swarm to the football, which is what Monty Kiffin always preached, what was that word he hated? No lags, no...
Is that right?
Yeah, you know, no loafing.
Loafing.
No loafs.
Loafs.
Mm. That was the big Kiffin thing. No loafs. And maybe they can get back to that.
All right, Sage. Now, this is just my mind. I'm obsessing this whole time we're talking.
You
I'm still
were taking
obsessing
little crib
this.
Notes on the Peter King
always, I'm always taking
podcast.
Notes. A pen and paper.
Research.
My dad used to tell me all the time, where's your pen and paper? You know, all the time. Anyway, Arians tells Peter King... who it stuck with him so much that he says and tells our listeners that Arians really, really likes Dirk Cutter. Now, that tells me, in my mind, maybe Arians took this job in part because he knew how well Jameis was coached and he could just make a couple of tweaks. Do you buy that?
I did not read it like that. But it did surprise me that he went out of his way to talk about the respect Arians has for Dirk Cutter. I haven't heard Arians talk about Cutter very much since he got to Tampa. Steve, I disagree with your interpretation because I think Arians is under the impression that Winston has not been properly coached overall and that he can make a difference. By the way, I believe King praised Clyde Christensen to the heavens as a position coach. Said he worked wonders in Indy.
My, how things have changed.
Now, I don't think Peyton Manning needed a lot of work, quite frankly. But every little bit helps. I don't get the impression he thinks Winston has been coached to the nth degree up to this point. I think he feels he's going to be the difference maker along with Leftwich and Christensen.
Well, the closest, and I could be dead wrong here, closest I got to where you could say Arians is critical of the previous regime is when he said, I don't want him looking over his shoulder.
Yes.
To me, that was basically saying, Dirk, you screwed with this head with Fitzpatrick.
Yes.
But and to Dirk's credit, he had to have some kind of quarterback last year.
And that's why Fitzpatrick had no chance to come back under an Arians regime. Yeah. Absolutely.
All right, let me bring Zach in here, the Generation Z voice of reason.
Who's been doing a great job.
Oh, man, Beast is tearing it up.
I even set him up negatively today, and I still feel bad about it. Because I wanted to get a quote from Arians about
trying
Evans.
To put obstacles in front of Zach and to see if he can get around him.
I sent him down the wrong path. Me should have been the adult. I should have sucked it up and took the responsibility and got the quote from Arians because he had a future story in mind. And instead, I usurped that, and I just said, do my future story.
What about me? I was standing with Arians. Don't I count? I was standing in the
by
small
time you
heat.
By the time you transcribed your audio, the HBO flick on Arians would have been over with. I wanted it right away. So I told Zach, I said, it's going to be the first question. Get it on a recording. Email the damn thing to me. Then go chase Kappa. And 5 minutes later, like, you dumb SOB. You should have went and got Arians. Let Zach go off on it and get his story. I apologize,
so
Zach.
You
that
owe
was
him
my
one.
Fault.
Lee, you owe
I
him
owe
one.
Him one.
In other words, you owe him, like, lunch tomorrow or dinner or something like that.
Why? He gets it free here.
He'll make amends.
Well,
something else.
All right, I was trying to tee up Zach, and I think he got a little sadly when you said I should have been the adult. And
what am I, six?
All right, what do you got? What do you got for Zach, Steve? What do you got?
That was just a funny. I saw him laugh. Now, I was going to ask you, Zach, do you think that what I said about Arians reading between the lines here, maybe he believes that Jameis was so well coached that this wasn't going to be much of a project. You think that you feel that vibe?
Well, we all know he has a history with Winston. He's made it known, the whole quarterback camp from those years ago when he showed him his Super Bowl ring. So he has a history with him. He was impressed with him then. He's impressed with him now. It's interesting, to say the least.
He also watched the tape, though.
He watched the tape. It's interesting to think that if he thought he was very well coached by Cutter, maybe he's like, I don't have to do so much heavy lifting when I get there. I can make a few tweaks.
They're working on his footwork, Zach. Yeah. They're working on his footwork.
I don't know. Sage, it's interesting. It's rare to hear an Arians bring up a Dirk Cutter in a national forum with Peter King like that when he's really hasn't talked about Cutter. I'm going to read you this one quote here, Ira, and then we'll move on. May 4th, 2019, quote, he's been extremely well coached before. That's one thing, right? Clyde Christensen talking about Jameis and his early impressions. So I don't know.
Well,
I don't know.
Coaches aren't going to knock other coaches.
Rarely,
That's not going to happen.
Not publicly.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they won't have to say stuff. It's
Peter also thought that, and I mentioned that I think Cutter's going to be very successful in Atlanta, and King agreed with me. Guys, let's face it. If Matt Ryan didn't want Dirk Cutter the second time around, Dirk Cutter would not be in Atlanta. It's simple as that.
He would have went to Arthur Blank. So this ain't happening.
Yeah,
he'll do a fine job.
Happen.
He's a great offense coordinator. Everyone
Matt
understands
Ryan
that.
Had to sign off on Dirk Cutter. Period.
All right, Sage. Now, let me say this. First, thanks, of course, to Ed Morris Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morris Cadillac Brandon. The month is coming to a close, and that's always a great time as we say goodbye to July to let everyone know that Ed Morris, the family of dealerships, more than 1.2 million happy customers for 73-plus years. Not each year, Ira, but in total. And we appreciate their support. EdMorrisCadillacTampa.com, EdMorrisCadillacBrandon.com. And
can I interject something real quick?
Oh, yeah, sure.
When you're talking about 73 years, Peter King told Ira he didn't know if he was going to outlast Ira for employment in journalism.
Yeah, we talked about retirement. That's right.
He didn't know if he said, I may only have 2 years left.
Yeah, he did say that.
So you might be here. You might overtake Peter King with Joe
Buck's
fan.
Well, the way Joe Buck's fan's going, you know. And by the way, before the podcast even started, I said, and Lee was there as my witness, I said, Steve, this is a highly rated podcast. Lee backed me up. Said I'm chasing Nancy Grace and a couple other people.
George Stephanopoulos.
And I told King that I've got two listeners in Thailand and a couple in Vietnam. He goes, no, you don't. I said, I absolutely do. And I don't know if you knew this, Zach, but we have international listeners. You know, the United Arab Emirates. There might be,
there's
a couple of guys in Dubai that are listening to it.
Well, that one guy in Germany cruises down the Autobahn listening to you.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, Steve, if we got time on this podcast or maybe another one, I've got a couple of things on a separate conversation I had with Peter King concerning the Hall of Fame that we can talk about a little bit too.
Yeah, you wasted no time squeezing his arm about Lynch.
Oh, I wasted no time.
You and Martin ganged up on him.
Yeah, Martin came in there too.
But Ira's got a listener. He Twittered a photo. He was cruising down the Autobahn listening to the podcast. He put a picture up of the signs on the Autobahn. You could tell he was in Germany.
He didn't like one of the things I said. He almost tipped his canoe over, Zach.
The irony is, in all that talking to Peter King, Ira, you forced Lee to be a bulldog because he wouldn't say, hey, Pete, give me 15 minutes.
Lee was outstanding.
Lee made it happen.
It doesn't happen without the Kemper. No question about it.
All right, now this is an important topic. We're gonna have so much more to hit on training camp, but this is a core topic. I know Lee's written about it. We've talked about it on the side, and the fans are probably aching for your sage wisdom here, Ira. I know I am. Well, maybe not, but I am. Look, we've watched Jameis Winston here at practice, and through five practices, look, the guy hasn't looked like a special quarterback. He's had some bad days. Yes, he's getting blitzes thrown at him. Yes, he's a professional quarterback, and he hasn't looked that great. And that's a fair consensus by people who've watched every ounce of practice, yet Bruce Arians is out there telling everybody he's fantastic. He's great. Oh, right on pace. Everything's great. Great, great. Why is this happening? What's going on? What's your interpretation?
Lee, it almost makes me think about when we were asking Dirk Cutter about DeSean Jackson and Winston. He was always defending DeSean Jackson. DeSean Jackson couldn't do anything wrong, at least publicly, for Dirk Cutter at the podium.
And
we were all trying to figure out, well, you know, what's the motivation? What's Cutter doing? We think it was a reflection on how tough-minded he thought Winston is, and he could put the things on Winston. But here we got the opposite. We got the Friday opening practice. We're all watching it. We've seen a lot of practices. Jameis Winston did not have a good practice day, to say the least. Arians goes to the podium. Third question, what'd you think of your quarterback? I believe he said outstanding.
Fantastic.
Now,
your former cohort at the Tribune, I won't mention who, but I'll just say that he thinks that may have been Jameis' worst practice. And yet Arians said, oh, he was fantastic.
I'll say this, Lee, you know, to be fair, I think Winston's going through some growing pains, I mean, right now, with this new system. The O-line hasn't been helping him too much.
No.
But he hasn't thrown the ball well, Lee. Now,
I don't think so.
Now, let's remember what Arians said on Thursday, reporting day. I asked him about the improvements in Winston. Is it going to be from the neck up? He said, yeah, most of it is. But they're also working on some mechanics, Lee. And now you're in year five, and I'm not saying you're overhauling your mechanics, but you're tinkering with them, footwork. Remember, he says we're trying to get him like a throw to second base. I thought that was a very important thing. It was kind of like a throwaway line, but it's not a throwaway line. That throw to second base is a line shot on the low side, not a high ball.
Like a foot or two off the ground.
Yeah. And so maybe Winston's trying some different stuff. Now, that doesn't excuse that he doesn't look very good, but I'm not going to overreact either, Lee.
Yeah, today we're cutting this on Tuesday evening after practice. He looked okay today. Okay, not, you know, Hall of Fame material, looked okay. But Friday he was terrible. And just to make sure I wasn't, this is a term my dad used to use, you can insert whatever punchline you want, half-cocked.
That's a good one.
I just want to make sure I wasn't half-cocked. I talked to three other people in the media room, three people I trust. One was a writer, one is a cable sports broadcaster, and a third was a regular TV guy. I went
but
all
they've
three
seen
separately.
A lot of football. Yeah, they've
and
seen
I said,
a lot of football.
Your guys, what, I said, my opinion, Jameis looked terrible today. And they all agreed with me.
But again, we're not going to overreact.
Well, yeah, it was one practice. But and I've seen him look better. Now, you want to flip the coin here. You know, in the past previous 4 years, Bucs' defense has been trashed. He looked okay. Cause and effect? Perhaps. But the defense, at least up until Monday, the defense, no question, has been better than the offense. No question.
But Mike Evans has been making plays.
Oh, well,
Mike Evans has been making
plays. I wrote
plays.
That this morning. I said there's one guy on offense, he's just toying with people.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
Mike Evans.
Yeah.
I mean toying, and I mean that verb literally, toying. You know, you name the cornerback, and Mike Evans is like, he's pulling a Chris Conte on him. What I mean by that is the stiff arm, he's stiff arming
Zach,
people.
These young defensive backs, they're getting a face full of Mike Evans.
Oh, for sure. I saw him line up against Devontae Harris today, who's a third-team guy.
Yeah.
From the slot, got obliterated.
Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. The defense is doing so well, and yet they're playing against the pass defense, I should say. Now, in the line, too, but we're specifically talking about the pass defense right here. They're going up against arguably the best receiver tight end combos in the NFL, perhaps.
That's what the Bucs do well, throw the football.
And they're borderline dominating.
Yeah.
They're borderline dominating.
Which, you know, goes back to, is the quarterback? You know, when you have the receiving core that's good, I mean, they're dominating. It's all interesting. My only theory, Ira, is that maybe Arians told Jameis before training camp started and told him, you know what, Jameis, in the first week of camp, there are no mistakes. There is no screw ups. You're just learning. You're out here. It's all good. Just let it rip, and we'll dissect it. So maybe he's got a cover for him. Maybe he can't. If he told him that, maybe he can't rip him in the media.
And Steve, to be fair, it's the first time he's in a new system since his rookie year. He's always had cutter around
Florida State, right?
He's always had cutter around him.
Here's one for you, and you're going to love this. I loved it.
Kate Upton again? No.
Who wouldn't?
All right. She disappeared a little bit. She was the thing about 5 years ago, and now you don't hear about her
that
still much.
Well, she's married to Justin Verlander. He's got her under wraps.
I understand.
Same with Jessica Alba. She's under wraps. Anyway, before I start getting any younger and start getting creepy like a certain sports
like we've
radio
been host, accused of.
The very same.
I might need a little clarification, Steve.
Right, very sorry. Same, not even the press conference, the very same answer. When Arians said he thought Jameis was fantastic, he talked about a ball that was incomplete. But Arians loved the, you know, okay, you recognize it, you threw it, I love it. A 50-50 ball to Evans. And it didn't connect, but Arians said, I like that throw. I like the idea.
So do I.
I've been banging that drum. You've been banging that drum. Why they don't do that, I don't know. But gosh darn, I'm glad Arians is like, keep it up.
Yeah.
All right, Sage, we have got, this is podcast number one of this week. Thanks to Peter King. Thanks to the excitement that's coming at Buffalo Wild Wings on Friday, August 9th. Zach's going to be watching over you, Ari. He's going to be babysitting
you're
you.
You're not doing that food count, are you?
I don't think so.
All right.
No food.
How many spoonfuls are you going to take of chocolate mousse?
Should I stay on my diet at the Buffalo Wild Wings? It's going to be a tall order over there. By the way, am I paying for my own food?